Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it's a little bit difficult for me to switch the channel from Mandarin to English. Yeah, just bear my poor English. Let's read a passage from Romans 12, 1 through 13. Maybe go to the next slide, help me. I'm reading from the NIV, let's start. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is a passage about serving the church. Let me ask you a question. Are you involved in any service in the church right now? Yeah, I see most people nodding their heads. If you are serving the church, what's the reason for your service? Do you know what's the major reasons for that? If you are not serving the church, what is holding you back? I think there might be a lot of questions for us to think about serving the church. And today, this passage is telling us how we could serve the church and what are the reasoning behind it. Service is very important to build the church and to build ourselves. So in our series about building our church, I think this is a key component in the whole series. So I hope after sharing, you can know better about service and we could build our church together. So first, this is, let me go to the next slide. Okay. Yeah. I have three major points in today's sharing. The first is, what is our service? So probably we all have a question about service, what it is. Just do the assigned duties. If you're assigned to play the piano, just play it. If you are showing the slide, just show it. Or whatever you do. But what's the real meaning of your service? It's not just about finishing specific works. It's much more than that. The passage, today's passage, Romans 12, is telling us, I think probably first mention about where is the passage located. This passage is at a turning point of this letter of Paul to the Romans. Romans 1 to 11 is more about what is the gospel? How does it influence your life? Starting from chapter 12, it's more about the application of the gospel in concrete ways in your life, in the church. Verse 1, 2 is kind of a summary of the application. And all the rest of the letter is about how you could concretely apply. Today we'll first go through verse 1, 2, and then the first part of the rest. Maybe we'll more focus on service in the church, but remind yourself that this is not about just about serving the church. It's about a whole life dedication to the Lord. So that's the reason I say here is all for your life. That's your service. The language in this passage has expressions about a sacrifice. We don't know too much about sacrifice in this age, but at the time of Paul, it's a very important part of people's social life. Everyone is serving a god or gods. So making offerings is quite important to serve those gods. Here, Paul is using a kind of different language, saying you need to offer your bodies as living sacrifice. What does a living sacrifice mean? It means you are using your whole life to glorify God. This is the true service we should have. So it's kind of like we not only show parts of life to honor God, but our whole body, our whole life. Here also Paul mentions this is holy and pleasing to God. Reminds us that is our focus is on God. And we're set apart by Him to serve Him. And there's another word in verse 1. We need to draw our attention to this word. It's mercy. It's saying in view of God's mercy, we are offering our lives to Him. God's mercy and grace is the only motivation in our lives to help us to serve Him. It's our response to God's grace, which is at no cost for us. God initiates His saving work. Jesus laid down His life for us on the cross. So we offer our life to Him. This is the way of the gospel. Not just the opposite. We offer our lives so that we can please God, and God give us grace. So that's not the right sequence. The right way is we respond to God's grace. I think in this world, we have a not very accurate understanding of grace. How would you describe grace? I think probably we usually hear the grace is for free, right? I don't know whether you have heard about that. But when I look at some commentaries, everyone say, okay, God's grace is for free. In one sense, it's true. We didn't make any efforts to make it happen. But on the other side, grace needs our response. In the Roman world, if someone gives you grace, it's expected in the culture that you respond to that grace. You need to even either show honor to the one who gives you grace, or you work for the person. So here, it's the same way. This grace is not cheap. You need to have some response to it. There's an expense for this grace, the life of Jesus, which is the most precious thing we have. So we shall feel the weight of it. If you think it's just like free, then you don't need to serve him, or you don't feel the need of serving him. But if you really feel the grace, you feel obligated to do something for him. I think this is the real understanding of the gospel happens. You need to feel it. It impacts your life. I don't know whether you have heard about the Asbury Revival, which is happening right now. Many people went to that small chapel, and they feel the power of the Spirit. They feel the weight of it, and their lives were transformed. We need to let the gospel have its own impact in our lives. The passage also says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here it shows two different ways. One is to conform to the pattern of this world, which means we are influenced by this world, by its worldview. Rather, we shall align to God's plan, be changed by the Spirit from our inside out. There are many things which are influencing us right now. If you go to a mall, you'll see those advertisements. You'll see different styles of the clothing. All those things are telling you what is good, what is important. The world has its own propaganda for us. But we shall now be conformed to this. We shall be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Our life shall be formed by God's plan, not by what others are thinking around us, our classmates, our friends, our colleagues. I know peer pressure plays a quite strong role in this world. You want to be like them. In OT, when the Israelites, they're entering Canaan, the same thing happened. They want to be like their neighbors. But not God's plan. God wants them to be holy. It's not easy, because we can always feel the pressure around us. But that's how you become God's people. You want to follow His plan. This can also apply to our church service. We shall now use the principles of this world. Not let the outward to influence us, but we shall be transformed within. We are all transformed by the Holy Spirit. That's how we can make changes for this church. The text also says, test and prove what God's will is. That means we need to experience how God is working. We shall put ourselves into practice. This is how God makes us grow. That's how we learn about God's will. So if you are not serving, if you are not offering your life to God, then there won't be any changes happen. God is working through our offering of our lives. The second point I want to mention is, where is our service? Probably you know, maybe I need to serve in the church. That's an answer to this question. But which part of the church? Sometimes we don't know how we can serve, then that's the reason we are not serving the church. The scripture tells us we need to find our own place. It says in verse 3, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." We need to have an accurate understanding of ourselves with proper humility. This does not mean we need to have a low self-esteem, but definitely we don't want to be arrogant. We need to see properly. I know sometimes people may feel drawing back. It's also kind of pride, I think. Sometimes we'll think, I don't want to be with those people. I don't think these people are worthy of my friendship. I'd rather be alone. I want to hang out with some cool guys. These are my people. For people in the church, they are nerds. They are poor. They have problems. But church is a place that God brings people together. These people have honor in God's eyes. God values these people. So we need to be with these people. We are part of the church. So we do not want to think too highly of ourselves. And also we do not want to think ourselves too lowly. Everyone is precious in God's eyes. Everyone is welcome. Everyone here are welcome. I think that's one precious thing in the church. Everyone is honored. So we need to think of ourselves in accordance with God's view on us. Everyone here, everyone among us, need to see ourselves in that way. Verse 4 begins to tell us the most important application of our lives is to have our community life in the church. Here it uses a body metaphor. A body has many parts or organs, and each part of the body has a different function. That's the reason God's bringing different people together in the same church. We may feel that everyone is different here, but God can make us to contribute to the church, to the body. We need each other, and we need the help of each other. We are all here for one body. I don't know how you feel about the needs of one part of our body. But the COVID has taught us a lesson. How many of you have caught a COVID in the past 3 years? Well, okay, a lot of people. How many of you have lost the smell? Okay, how does it feel? Yeah. He says lost taste and smell. Actually, I think the major impact is about your smell. The reason is I think taste only have maybe 4 or 6 different tastes, but it's actually the smell helps you know the flavor of the food. So if you lost your smell, usually we think smell is not a big thing. We want to have taste, have sight, have hearing. If there anything we want to lose first, probably is the smell. But whenever you really lost it, you know that it is really important. So this is something COVID has taught us. Every part has its special use. I cannot imagine at this moment my leg is not working. Then I will fail. So every part of body plays a role in our lives. The Bible tells us every Christian is part of the body. That means if your part is not here, then the body is not whole. Some parts of it is not functioning. So we need everyone here. So it's very important to be present, to make your own contribution to the church. There are many passages in the Bible talking about different gifts. I think Romans 12 is one of it. There are others such as 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, many mentioning different gifts. But here I would like to focus on the what it's saying here, starting from verse 6. It's mentioning there are different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. This means God has given us a special grace so that we could help the church. The text mentioned several different gifts, including here prophesy, which is not about predicting the future. It's about speaking the God's given word. And here also mentioned serving. It's kind of like a general, but you do certain work to help the church. And also mentioned teaching, explaining the word of God. And also here, encourage. You try to help other Christians. Also here is giving, help financially, leading. You are kind of it's not just the role of the church leaders, but your lead in certain ministry. And also compassion, show mercy. That's helping those in need. This is not an exclusive list, but definitely is telling us these are God-given gifts for us to use. You can help in different ways. So let us try to think about it. It's not exclusive. That means there are different areas we can serve the church. We need to find out and discover our own gifts and use it in our church lives. This means we are not drawing back. We need to try to find some places and test whether we are given by God to have those gifts to serve. So here, I think these are the major points about where is our service. We need to find our place. If you're not sure, whichever you can serve. Definitely you can ask Pastor Heath and other church leaders. And try to find a place you can make contribution to the church. If you think you are part of the body and the body needs you, find a place. The third point is, how is our service? It's kind of like what attitude you have to the service. Here I say, show your dedication. If you are really dedicated to this faith, you need to show it. There are some outward signs for dedication. Here, Paul mentioned several different principles. I think in verse 9 it's more general. It's about how you, no matter what gift you have, you can love the church, love the people around you. Let love be sincere. That means it's not just lip service. It's concrete. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. That means there's a certain standard. Leave out the goodness of God. For verse 10, it's about three examples. How we could have real expression of our faith. If you love your brothers and sisters, treat them as your family members. Honor one another above yourselves. That means we shall put others above ourselves. And then it says, never be lacking in zeal, which means in every serving area, you need to show your zeal in it. And also here, keep your spiritual fervor. That means you're led by the Holy Spirit. You know it's not by your own strength to serve the God. Serve your God. You're serving the Lord. That means you are act as God's slave. You're not pleasing man, but pleasing God. And then, in verse 12, mention, be joyful in hope, which means, when you're in a good situation, be joyful. Now God is leading you. Be patient in affliction. When there's persecution, when there is pressure, be patient. And in all circumstances, be faithful in your prayer. Prayer is the heart and also the strength that can make you stand still in all the storms. And verse 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. I think this is a specific application, which is about our financial giving. Sharing with the Lord's people who are in need. That mostly it's about the people in our community, in our church, and probably also to those churches and their resources. And practice hospitality for those visitors to our church. We show our welcome. I think financial giving is a hard thing for most of us. But this text is telling us, if you really want to know whether you have a concrete practice of your love, this is a sign for you. whether you are giving. Although this is not the only way you can tell your faith is true, but this is something which can be, can clearly show how much you can put into your service. Sometimes we have a not very accurate understanding of financial giving. We think when we make contributions to the church, when we are making offerings, there might be some things in return. It's more like a transaction or it's a trading with God. But it's not. It's just like what we have said before. It's a response to God's grace. You want to help to expand God's kingdom. I think it's a sad thing that I see when I first become pastor in this church. We have a deacon nomination committee, and I'm the chair of it. When we nominate our deacons, one thing we need to evaluate is whether they are making any financial contributions to the church. I don't know the real standard, but our treasurer is taking care of it. They'll recommend a certain person, whether this person is trying to make contributions to the church. This means probably he's regularly giving parts of his financial gains to the church. But each year, every year, when we have nominated some candidates, we'll know that from our treasurer, someone are not making any offerings to our church. I think one reason is that we don't teach that our pulpit. But another thing is people don't think this is something they want to do and they need to do. We're not asking everyone to give a tithe to the church, one-tenth of their financial gains. But there must be a reason that some person doesn't want to make any contribution to the church. We make investments in many ways. We have stocks. We have saving accounts. We have all those things. And also maybe we have such as a real estate. All those investments are for some reason, maybe for earning more money or for others, but making financial contribution to the church is trying to help the church grow, to preach the gospel to more people, and to help the financial needs of the congregants within. This is an important thing, although it's not all about money. But if there's no money at all, I think the church will soon die out. This is happening in the United States every day. Many churches are closing. I've visited Great Britain several years ago. All those beautiful churches are turning into pubs. Because they cannot financially sustain their church. I think this is something we have to do if we're really a devoted believer. I think probably this can help us to understand better how to serve our church. we need to show our dedication. We need to find our place. And we need to offer our lives. I would like to tell a small story at the end of the sermon about how much you can do that can make an impact to this church. This story about one Christian camp I went, I think maybe almost 10 years ago. It's a camp in Korea. Different people from Asia, Japan, Korea, China, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Thailand, everywhere, and even some from Europe went to that meeting. One person was there from Japan. I think the presence of that person was very special. This is a person with a physical disability. He needs others' help to come to the events. He even cannot speak a full sentence. But his presence was very special. He shared that through the help of machines and translators. The reason he wanted to be there is he wanted to make his presence meaningful. And he really did it. Although he has some physical disability, which makes his smile a little bit weird, but he's joyful through the whole meeting. Only his presence can make a difference. I think that's true for our church as well. Your presence is precious to us, especially for this English congregation. English speaking congregants are our youth. You are our future. If you are present, we feel much better. This church is not dying. It's making impact. Some of the congregants are, maybe you cannot understand Mandarin, but your presence is precious to us. Because you are willing to be with this community to overcome many difficulties. I think our service could start with just presence. One step by one step. From presence to serve to dedication. This could make a big impact to this whole church. And each of you is important. And these pressures. So let this passage be our encouragement so that we can serve one another here and for this church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I could not communicate well using English, and sometimes I'll say this could be even misunderstood. But please, Holy Spirit, help everyone here to feel the weight of your grace and to motivate people to respond to your grace. This church needs our service, and we need to serve the church. That's the reason God is bringing us together in this church to be one body. So help us to find our place and to show our dedication to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.